20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Friday. Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Minicamp is done with. We've got day three officially in the books, and that does it for the 2025 Packers OTAs and minicamp. We had a fun last day of practice. We are probably going to start at the end, to be honest. No real news, notes, transactions, anything like that. So we're able to jump right into our minicamp review from day three. If you have not yet had the opportunity to subscribe, like, comment, give those five-star reviews, get the notifications every time a new episode comes out, make sure to do so and make sure to check out those Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships as well. But with that, let's jump right into everything that happened at day three of Packers minicamp. Like I said, we're going to start at the end. The Packers are getting ready for 40 more minutes of practice. They've got everything lined up. All the Packers put their helmets to the side. It looks like they're going to go through some sort of like kind of gauntlet type drill. It was either like ball security or like probably some like tackling type stuff. Maybe it was a special team thing. It was tough to say for sure, but they had definitely 40 minutes of stuff or 40 minutes on the clock and all the stuff like lined up, like the trainers, everyone had all of the stuff ready to go for an additional 40 minutes of practice. And they're all set. They're all ready to go. Matt's ready to blow the whistle to kind of go through everything. And right before he says, all right, let's do this, Brandon McManus hits a 58-yard field goal. We'll end practice right here. So Brandon McManus gets set. Everyone on the team is all surrounding him. All the pressure in the world, right? You get 40 minutes less of practice, get to get out of mini camp for the remainder of the day and really start your break, right? Because they now will have the next 5 weeks off. And they did have like a line in front of them and snapped it to him and everything like that. There was no rush, but a 58-yard field goal. And just to set the scene here, I was thinking of this as like, I'm sure Matt, like it, probably deep down wanted him to make it, right? To kind of let everyone out, whether or not like what or they would have continued with practice or what would have happened if he missed it, I don't know. My guess is maybe then Alex Hale gets a chance at 53 for it. And if both miss, maybe they are going to do some, or maybe they do 10 minutes and then give him an, I don't know. I don't know what would have happened. I don't think if McManus misses, I don't know. I'm really torn because I don't know if they actually would have, continued practice or not, or just said, all right, you guys are out of here, whatever. But they were all set up for it. So I'm intrigued. I wish I knew for sure, but I digress. Everyone is surrounding Brandon McManus and I'm looking at this and I'm like, it's a 58 yarder. It was not a completely calm and breezeless day. Like there was a pretty crisp breeze in the air. It's not like some Soldier Field, you know, blustery day in November or anything like that, but it was definitely enough to be like, this is not an easy 58 yard field goal. So McManus steps up, the weight of the world on his shoulders, and absolutely drills a 58 yard field goal. The team goes nuts. Practice is done with at that point in time. And they all get together. Matt LaFleur breaks it down to begin with and just kind of gives out his sort of final expectations for what the next 5 weeks look like. Basically saying, hey, don't take your foot off the gas, that you have to continue to work, come back ready to, you know, ready to work hard at training camp, et cetera. And then brings Mark Murphy over. Mark Murphy gets handed a helmet signed by the team. And, you know, Matt obviously says thank you, and I'm sure a bunch of other stuff, and congratulates Mark Murphy. And then Murphy gets the opportunity to break it down at the end. And just a note here, for those of you who don't know, Mark Murphy is moving on from being Packers president. He's met the mandatory retirement age, and Ed Policy is taking over. Technically, this is not the last practice. Wednesday of training camp and Thursday of training camp will take place. Friday at the owners meetings is when they're officially making that transition to from Mark Murphy to Ed Policy at the owners meeting. So that's when that'll take place. So Murphy will still have a couple practices left, but this was for all intents and purposes, Murphy's last practice as acting president. And it was a cool moment for him. Again, he gets to break down the huddle at the end, and he breaks it down by saying Super Bowl on three, one, two, three, everyone yells Super Bowl. It was a cool moment. Matt Schneidman, kudos to him. Got a great photo of Mark Murphy kind of walking off into the distance with the helmet in his hands in the tunnel. It's a really cool shot. So an awesome moment for Mark Murphy, deservedly so. Continued to build his legacy through this past draft, which he, of course, was able to secure in Green Bay, a Super Bowl during his tenure. But that was a pretty cool moment for him. So awesome way to end practice. Again, we're starting here at the end, but I think those were kind of the cool moments right at the end of practice that I wanted to get to right away with the McManus walk-off and then the breaking down of everything by Mark Murphy. Let's get into the beginning, and we start with the absences at practice. Three new absences, Jaden Reed, Omar Brown, and Kamal Haddon, were all not practicing and were with the rehab group. From a good news standpoint, Nate Hobbs did return to practice, so it was great to see him out there. Travis Glover, I should mention, I haven't mentioned that this week, but while he is practicing and going through warmups and things like that, he is working to the side with a trainer, has not done any team drills or anything like that. So he is working to some extent, but is not fully cleared in some way because he is not doing anything when it comes to team drills and even is working off to the side during some of the individual drills. So Travis Glover seemingly is a little bit banged up, but hopefully that's going to be good to go come training camp. I also want to mention, I was really happy to see Tucker Kraft practicing. There was about a 5-minute period of time during Wednesday's practice where his arm, it was kind of like his forearm, was getting examined by team trainers. And you could tell he was kind of flexing it a little bit and they were looking at it. And I was a little bit worried that maybe there was something there and he was going to come and was going to flare up or he wasn't going to practice. He seemed totally fine. There was no issue. He was fully practicing. So was very happy to see that. Your players who remained out were Zane Anderson, Christian Watson, Aaron Banks, Kalen King, Rasheed Walker, Julian Hicks, Colin Oliver, Quay Walker, Micah Robinson, and John Williams. Quay Walker and John Williams, we once again did not see. It is somewhat, I don't know if we want to use the word ironic or whatever, but as we're talking all week about the depth of the cornerback room, right? We're talking about the next three guys who could have to step up if there's injuries, Micah Robinson, Kalen King, and Kamal Haddon. And here we are at day three of mini camps, and Kamal Haddon, Kalen King, and Micah Robinson are all not practicing. Nate Hobbs missed day two. I mean, that entire group was basically banged up to some extent almost all week. So just, of course it was, right? That led, I'm sure, to some extent of Bo Melton getting that opportunity at corner. But those were the returning injuries. And then, of course, Elton Jenkins was not practicing, not due to injury, but due to his contract situation and being a hold-in at Packers minicamp. Hopefully, fingers crossed, the Packers can get everything squared away with Elton prior to the start of training camp. It really matters not at all that he wasn't able to practice during minicamp. As soon as training camp starts, you would love Elton to get out there at center. He's not learning a new position. He played center all in college and is well versed and familiar with the position, but it's been a hot second. So just getting him back ingrained at playing center. And then the other thing is just getting the checks and the calls and the cadence and the rhythm and everything down with Jordan Love is going to be really important as well. So the sooner he can get out there at camp, I think the better. It always feels like sometimes too, these players that have the holdouts or the hold-ins, they all of a sudden get back and they try to rush things to get back. And then all of a sudden they end up with some soft tissue injuries. And you just don't want to see any of that for Elton. So I think the sooner that the Packers can get this whole contract thing squared away and get him in hopefully day one of training camp, I think it would be huge. So hopefully that can be the case for Elton Jenkins. Matt LaFleur was asked after practice if Quay Walker, Rasheed Walker, Jaden Reed, or Aaron Banks would miss the start of training camp. And he said, quote, hopefully not. Again, we did hear the other day that it sounds like Quay is going to be ready for training camp, but Rasheed, Jaden Reed, Aaron Banks, and the rest of that injury group, we're going to have to keep an eye on. We know Christian Watson's not going to be ready for the start of training camp or well after that, obviously, but everyone else is, you know, sort of up in the air. We don't know. The John Williams situation is very unique in just the fact that we have not seen him at OTAs or mini camps. Same thing kind of with Quay. Micah Robinson, we didn't see those last couple of days either. So definitely some injuries to kind of keep an eye on here. Hopefully much ado about nothing, and hopefully we get to training camp and everyone's just good to go outside of Christian Watson, but I definitely want to see that injury list go down as we get ready to start camp in about 5 weeks. All right, as we get into more of the practice portion, If Bo Melton already wasn't doing enough playing wide receiver, corner on all the core special teams units, I don't know if they're just trolling at this point, but the very first play of team activities, you look out there, Bo Melton lined up at running back. Now, it sounds a little bit more fun than what it is. Bo Melton and Josh Jacobs were in the backfield in pony personnel, and this is very likely only due to the fact that Jaden Reed was not practicing or participating in practice, because this is a very familiar formation with Reed and Jacobs in the backfield together. And for those who don't know, but like Bo Melton has kind of been basically Jaden Reed insurance the last couple of years. If Reed wasn't able to go, or if they needed somebody to take his spot, they kind of went with Bo Melton as like kind of like a B minus version, however you want to view it, of Jaden Reed, because he can do a lot of the same things. So my guess is that's a play that's designed for Jaden Reed and Josh Jacobs in the backfield, but with Reed out, Melton filling in, it ends up going to Bo Melton. But just funny that after talking all week of Bo Melton at wide receiver, Bo Melton at corner, you know, on the kick return team, punt return team, kickoff team, punt team, now all of a sudden you get to the very first play, and where is he? Lined up in the backfield at running back. So the more you can do, of course, the better. No, he's not transitioning to running back too, but it was just very funny to see him in the backfield on the very first play of team drills. Speaking of which, your entire starting lineup for team drills, again, these were done in walkthroughs, not full team or full speed in team, but nonetheless, here were your starters for the day. Jordan Love at quarterback, Josh Jacobs and yes, Bo Melton in the backfield, Romeo Doubs and Dontavian Wicks at wide receiver, Tucker Kraft at tight end, Jordan Morgan at left tackle, Kadeem Telfort at left guard. So he took Donovan Jennings' place. Jennings was not with the ones today or on Thursday. It was Kadeem Telfort that got the nod at left guard. Jacob Monk at center, Sean Ryan at right guard, Zach Tom at right tackle, Rashawn Gary and LVN as defensive ends, Wyatt and Clark as defensive tackles, Cooper and McDuffie at linebacker, Nixon, Hobbs, and Valentine at corner with Hobbs in the slot, and then Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney at safety. We'll be right back. In addition, what I did is during a probably like 15-minute team period, and again, not at full speed or anything like that, but when the ones were on one side, and again, like the twos and threes or three, however you want to view it, were down on the other side, I basically took attendance of everyone that was practicing with the ones in any capacity. So here were your full list of players on offense and on defense that were on the one side, the premium side, not on the sort of backup side, if you will. So the premium side consisted of Jordan Love, and then Malik Willis started with the twos and then came over to the ones midway through. That is commonplace for him. Usually starts over with the twos and then midway through comes over and joins the ones. Josh Jacobs, Emmanuel Wilson, and Marshawn Lloyd at running back. Bo Melton, Dontavian Wicks, Malik Heath, Mecole Hardman, Romeo Doubs, and Matthew Golden at wide receiver. Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, and Ben Sims at tight end. Jordan Morgan, Kadeem Telfort, Jacob Monk, Sean Ryan, and Zach Tom along the offensive line. Rashawn Gary, LVN, Brenton Cox, and Kingsley Nigbari at defensive end. Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt, Colby Wooden, and Carl Brooks at defensive tackle. Isaiah McDuffie, Edgerrin Cooper, Tyron Hopper, and Isaiah Simmons at linebacker. Carrington Valentine, Nate Hobbs, Keyshawn Nixon, and Bo Melton at corner. Evan Williams, Kitano Adapo, Xavier McKinney, and Javon Bullard at safety. One thing that I got right away when I tweeted this out was, oh my goodness, Bo Melton's already with the ones as a defensive back or as a corner as well. Not quite. All right. So yes, technically he was with the ones, but my guess here, just using common sense, is when he's with the ones at wide receiver, which he has been for a while now, you're not going to, if you want to get a look at him at defensive back, you're not going to have him sprint to the other side and now go work with the twos as a defensive back. You're just going to switch him to the other side where he's already practicing. It just makes more sense, right? Instead of having him switch between groups over and over and over, have him work at wide receiver. You want him to go defense. All right, throw that green penny on, go to the other side of the field where you're already practicing. So I'm not ready to declare that Bo Melton is already in the top tier of corners on Green Bay's team. I'm just stating that he worked with the ones, and I think it's more to do with the fact that he was already over there as a wide receiver already, but he was there nonetheless. I should also mention there was some question as to whether or not Bo Melton was a slot or an outside corner. I quite frankly, can't recall like that on, I guess, the first couple days of minicamp, if he was doing anything in the slot. But I can tell you on Thursday, he was a outside corner entirely. So that's where they were playing him. And I'll just say, I'm not ready to say like, yep, he's a good corner. No question about it. He has looked the part. It is not like you would think to some extent, right? That you get somebody like Bo out there and it's like, well, that's kind of cool, but like he clearly cannot do this. Not at all. Like he's legitimately out there competing. There was a play that he was trailing Jaden Reed. He's communicating well. He like seemingly already is understanding his assignments and zone coverage. Like there was some pretty good stuff out there from Bo Melton. So my conclusion here is that this doesn't seem ridiculous, like sincerely, like in at moments, it's like, this kind of looks all right. Like I'm kind of intrigued. So I think intriguing and just like, this is not a unmitigated failure or nightmare of like, this guy clearly has no idea what he's doing out there. If you did not know, sincerely, if he was wearing number, you know, 20, we'll just say 23 this week or whatever, but with some corner number, right? And he was out there and he was some new guy that they picked up and you just didn't even see the name, you would not be able to tell the difference legitimately. So I think that is a huge sign for Bo Melton as he kind of makes this transition over to corner. We'll see if this continues into training camp or if they go back and look at the film and say, it's close, but it's not good enough. Who knows? Right. But my guess is it does continue into training camp. And like I said, I've been impressed with how he's looked the part so far very early on. All right. The biggest team activities and just kind of the biggest, portion of practice that actually kind of meant something was a red zone 7-on-7 period. And it started with the ones, Jordan Love at quarterback. And on the very first play, I mean, I don't know if it was the first, but here are all the main plays in this 7-on-7 period. There was a play where Matthew Golden on the right side is going against Nate Hobbs. Golden gets to the back of the end zone, has a half step, I would say. Love throws it up to him. Looks like it's going to be a touchdown. And at the last moment, Nate Hobbs skies. And I mean, he gets up to bat away the ball at the last second and get a beautiful pass breakup. More often than not, when you are in a situation where it's Packers versus Packers, you're always living in this sort of no man's land where, yeah, something good happened, but also something bad happened. Normally in this situation, it would be like, great, Nate Hobbs made a play, but Jordan Love and Matthew Golden failed, right? It's great that Hobbs made the play, but the offense failed. And that's normally the world that you're living in. Something good happened for the Packers, but also something bad happened. On this particular play, you get that rare scenario where just watching it live, again, I don't have the benefit of going and watching it on replay or all 22 or anything like that, but watching it live, I thought Golden ran a really nice route, gained the level of separation that he needed, was, again, a great play by him. I thought Jordan put the ball where it needed to be, quite frankly. Maybe he could have lofted it up a little bit more to try to get it up and over Nate Hobbs. I'm not sure. That may have just led it to being out of bounds at that point. Tough again to say in real time, you're looking and watching and everything happens in the blink of an eye, right? But my first glance was like the ball was where it was supposed to be. And then Nate Hobbs just gets up and makes an incredibly athletic play to bat the ball away. And so you end up in that rare situation where good route, good throw, better defense, tip your cap to everyone. But ultimately, Nate Hobbs won that rep in just a really fun coverage play from him. Next noteworthy play here is you're getting, I think it was probably like an option or a choice or a stick route, something to that extent. Maybe it was a crosser. It was, again, you're watching the quarterback, you get your eyes turned and you're seeing him come across, but it was Tucker Kraft on Isaiah Simmons. And Simmons had good cover. This is another one where he had pretty good coverage on the play. Kraft gets just a little bit of separation. Love did a great job of leading him on the play so that he could get it outside his frame so that it was not in harm's way with Isaiah Simmons, but also more importantly, that Tucker Kraft was able to run through the catch in stride and then take it upfield and get into the end zone. And that's exactly what he did. So minimal, minimal separation, not due to any issues with Tucker Kraft. I thought Kraft did a great job to get that little bit of separation that he could. Good coverage from Simmons. Great throw from Love to lead him. Kraft accelerates, gets into the end zone for a touchdown. So nice play from Love to Kraft on that particular play. Next up, you've got another touchdown to Tucker Kraft, one that was rifled in pretty strong by Jordan Love. Looked like it was Xavier McKinney. Maybe Ketanil Adapa was the other one on the play, but it looked like McKinney was maybe primary. It was a great route by Tucker Kraft, a post route back of the back center of the end zone. Again, Love ripped one in, and it was a really beautiful touchdown play from Love to Kraft. Again, this is all 7-on-7. This is full speed, so we are going full speed, but this is 7-on-7. It is worth noting that one more time. The next one was Love to Dobbs in almost an identical spot for a touchdown. Didn't get to see who was in coverage on that one, but again, Dobbs got open middle of the end zone. Again, almost identical spot to where Tucker Kraft was. You then had Love to Matthew Golden for a touchdown. He was running in the back of the end zone, just on like a deep crosser, and Love found him. Evan Williams was trailing him on the play. This is one where I would say Love definitely took his time in the pocket, or if you want to call it a pocket when there's no rushers, but he took his time on that one. I'm not sure in real life if he would have had that opportunity to have that much time in the pocket. The coverage did well up until that point, and then Love found Golden in the back of the end zone, ripped it to him, and again, Evan Williams was the one trailing him on that particular play. In a real-world scenario, again, I'm not sure Jordan would have had that much time to throw. Jordan was cooking, though. He was doing great, and then you had a throw to Bo Melton, and I thought Keyshawn Nixon did a great job of getting to the spot and breaking that play up, so it was a nice PBU by Keyshawn Nixon, and then the moment you've been waiting for, I've been waiting for. We haven't really said his name all that much because we haven't had the opportunity. It was Taylor Algersma time. Oh, hell yeah. And let me just tell you, and I know I have a type, and Taylor Algersma is absolutely my type. Random quarterback that, you know, from some place that you would never expect it, that has great, you know, like profile, meaning height, weight, looks the part, rips the ball. This is prime, you know, training camp Andy type player here. It's written all over it. Plus, again, he's from Canada where they're playing like 13 on 13 with wide receivers in motion everywhere, trying to transition to the NFL. This is peak Andy player. But besides that, altogether, Algersma gets in, very first play. I mean, absolutely rips a seed to Cornelius Johnson in the back of the end zone for a touchdown. Then the next play, he gets one more play. He only gets two plays in team and in the 7-on-7. First play, touchdown to Cornelius Johnson. Next play comes back, gets the snap. Decisive in the pocket. Looks left, first read. Looks middle, second read. Looks right on his third read. And on his third read, with immediacy, sees that Cornelius Johnson's about to come open, but that he's about to get, you know, in that sideline range where he's going to run out of room pretty quick. In a moment's notice, sees it, reads it immediately, rips another one on a line to Cornelius Johnson for another touchdown. Two for two, two touchdowns, unstoppable, Taylor Algersma. In all sincerity, all, you know, fourth quarterback, classic Andy type Packer jokes aside, the first one was massive arm talent, okay? Like legitimate arm talent. The second one, watching him just good feet, staying on balance, high in the pocket, you know, staying on his toes, first read, second read, third read, rips the ball in stride, touchdown Cornelius Johnson. Just earmark that one a little bit. That was one where like, you don't see that from young quarterbacks. You just don't. I'm not going to, you know, compare and contrast to anyone or anything here, but Paul Bredel noticed it as well. The last time Paul Bredel and I looked at each other on a play was Edrian Cooper. Again, not hold the fort a little bit here. I'm not saying anything other than that it could be a very fun number three quarterback battle with Sean Clifford here. That's as aggressive as I'm going. But there were just a couple things that, again, from a random number four quarterback out of Canada as a mini camp tryout player that you picked up. Yeah, I will more than take what I saw from those two plays. So two for two, two touchdowns, the unstoppable Taylor Algersma. On top of that, speaking of, you know, random mini camp studs, how about Cornelius freaking Johnson? Had the four catches in the 2-minute drill with Malik Willis the other day and then now gets two touchdown passes with Taylor Algersma at quarterback. He's had a really nice minicamp. Now, with the good sometimes for a player like Cornelius Johnson can come the bad. On one particular play, he ran the wrong route, and Matt LaFleur was not afraid to tell him about it. And I talk about this every once in a while. Matt LaFleur in general, I would label as, more of a player's coach. He wants it to be a player-led locker room. He has a great pulse on when guys need a day off and, you know, when they need to do maybe more of a mental rep day rather than a physical day. I would put him more in the category of player's coach. But he is not afraid to hold a player or the team accountable. You guys, I know, don't get to see this a ton in just the course of a regular season. He will get after guys aggressively if they are not holding the standard as the standard. And in this particular play, Cornelius Johnson, who, by the way, I'm sure when Cornelius Johnson is having a couple, you know, good days, right, is starting to catch the eye of some people, you start saying, you start paying a little bit more attention and you start demanding a little bit more and you start getting after that player to see, well, how do they respond to it? So Cornelius Johnson, again, looked like he ran the wrong route or did something he wasn't supposed to. LaFleur's after him, on him, immediately, aggressively. I love that. Absolutely love it. And again, you guys don't get to see that a ton, but I think there's a very fine line in the NFL that most coaches cannot walk between players coach and accountability and getting after players when you need to get after players. And I truly, sincerely believe that Matt walks that walk better than almost any coach in the league, of really being able to hold players accountable when he needs to, but also primarily being a player's coach when he has the opportunity to. And it just kind of goes to, hey, you take care of your business. I'm going to give you the leeway that you desire, or that you would probably like, and that you deserve. If you're not taking care of your business, you're going to hear about it, and we're going to hold you accountable to it. And I really love that from Matt. So really good week for Cornelius Johnson, but again, you're a young receiver, you're a young player, and there's going to be some mistakes. And if you make it in the wrong way, you're definitely going to hear about it. That's exactly what happened with Cornelius Johnson. Also want to shout out Jordan Love. I thought he was on that 7-on-7 period on fire once again. We've talked about it. We'll talk about it a little bit more in just a minute, but a really good mini camp week. And again, capped it off with a really impressive 7-on-7 period here against the ones in impressive fashion with multiple touchdown throws. I mentioned yesterday, Jonathan Baldwin in some of the team drills was working at safety, just kept a little bit of an extra eye on it today. And he was also doing individual work at safety. So if you're keeping track at home and have Jonathan Baldwin as a corner on your depth chart, if you're putting together a 53 or whatever roster you're putting together, just note that it seems like Jonathan Baldwin is more of a safety than a corner, which is probably pretty unfortunate for Jonathan Baldwin. At safety, Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard are not going anywhere. Ketan Oladapo almost assuredly is not going anywhere. Zane Anderson's got a great chance to make the team. You've got five safeties pretty entrenched right now. And then even after that, you're fighting with Omar Brown, who was a special teams guy and actually got, you know, called up a couple times to the active roster at least once, if not twice, this past year. And then even Bugs Brown is a unique safety, undrafted free agent. So the competition at safety, immense. Meanwhile, if he was able to stay a corner, again, Robinson's out, Hobbs is out, Haddon's out, Hobbs missed a game or a practice this week. Like, there would have been a ton of opportunity to step maybe into one of those roles, but it does seem like Jonathan Baldwin is going to be a safety and not a corner. Meanwhile, Donovan Jennings was not with the ones, as mentioned earlier. It was Kadeem Telfort, but Donovan Jennings did get some time at center with the twos and threes, and that will serve him very well if he can cross-train on that as well. Again, the more you can do, the better. And if Jennings can show that he's got guard, center, guard versatility, and remember, he played tackle in college as well, so maybe in a pinch could even kick out there, that would be a really strong sign for him that he has a legitimate chance to make the roster, not only playing with the ones in the last couple of days, but again, the potential versatility there as well could be huge for him. We'll be right back. Three mini camp practices this past week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, every single one of them ended with a walk-off play. On Tuesday, you had the mini Hail Mary, 2 minute drill. Sean Clifford gets the ball off with 1 second, pressure off his right side, dances to get away from it, and throws one up, a mini Hail Mary, probably 25, 30 yards out and into the waiting hands of Mecole Hardman, who skies and one hand catches the touchdown to get the game tying touchdown as the very last play of practice. On Wednesday, 4th and 20, Jordan Love, a impossible situation, drops back to pass. Defense brings a blitz. Jordan Love steps into it, rips the ball down the field, 50 plus yards in air into the waiting hands of Mecole Hardman. Could not have handed it to him any better. Mecole Hardman takes it the rest of the way with that 4-2-40 speed for a walk-off touchdown win. And then last but not least, we talked about it earlier, final play of practice. Matt LaFleur gives Brandon McManus the opportunity to kick that 58-yarder to walk off practice and to give everyone the rest of the day off and head home for their 5 weeks of vacation. And he absolutely drills it with a walk-off game-winning field goal. So 3 practices, 3 days, walk-off by Mecole Hardman, another walk-off by Mecole Hardman, and then a walk-off by Brandon McManus. So cool to see that, you know, just getting those big plays to end each day in practice. My mini camp MVPs. I've got 3 of them. First up, Jordan Love. No question about it. Don't think anyone else was particularly close. I thought Love was phenomenal. I thought he was fantastic, whatever adjective that you want to use. I don't think Matt LaFleur mentioned it the other day, as good as it could be or as good as it could have been. I don't think it could have really been any better. He was precise, accurate, on time, knew the offense. I mean, not just knew the offense, was complete control of the offense. Everything that he needed to do, every situation, check down, intermediate, long, not only reading it, but getting it to where it needed to go, checks at the line of scrimmage, getting everyone set up, and just going back to OTAs as well, could not have asked for anything more. How that translates to training camp and regular season, I'm assuming he's not going to play in the preseason much, if at all, we'll have to wait and see. But if I told you, if today we were talking about, man, Jordan is getting happy feet, he's not seeing the field really well, he's thrown multiple interceptions, you know, saw him throw it at the receiver's feet a handful of times, just does not look comfortable out there. If that was what we were talking about, you'd probably be like, oh my goodness, like, is it just over? Is he just not going to be able to cut it? Like, there would be some panic and angst and anxiety in Packers Nation that Jordan struggled through this camp in OTAs for better or worse. So this is the opposite. He was fantastic. The MVP of OTAs and minicamps, in my opinion. So kudos to him. He looks awesome, and hopefully he can carry that over into training camp. And then, of course, more importantly, that week 1 game against Detroit in Green Bay. My other one, Cornelius Johnson. I mean, from just a mini camp standpoint, you get a couple touchdowns today, a 4-reception performance on a 2-minute drill, including a deep ball down the field. I think you have to give your flowers to him. That was an impressive week of mini camp for a player that most people didn't even know coming into the week. And for him to have that and kind of get his name in the conversation a little bit more, kudos to him. It was a very impressive week from Cornelius Johnson. And then last but not least, Bo Melton. In general, you're making the switch to defense. You're still playing well in offense and defense and all 4 special teams units. You're doing everything. But the other reason, unbelievable content this week. So Bo, thank you a ton. It has had us have a little bit even more something to talk about with a receiver switching over, not even switching over, but playing corner in addition to his primary job as a wide receiver. So my 3 MVPs, Jordan Love, Cornelius Johnson, and Bo Melton. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. I always appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow with an all new episode. Excited for these next 5 weeks. Don't go anywhere. I understand that the next 40 days are not going to have a ton, hopefully, going on. Usually, if there's something going on, it's not the greatest thing in the world, whether it's an off-field issue or something. So we don't want a ton of news over the next 40 days. I promise you, we're going to have awesome topics, awesome conversations, awesome guests. We're not going anywhere. 365 days a year. Again, make sure to like, subscribe, follow, give those 5-star reviews, tell a friend, and do not go anywhere, because we will get you all set for the season. We'll do a ton of fun topics. You're not going to want to miss it. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, of course, most hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handel, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Jake Kohner, Carla Delgado, Willie Winkle-Single, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Matt Geiger, and Pack Attack Cast. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.